Chapter 13. I ministered last week on marriages, entitling the sermon, Marriage is Honorable. And I started last week with the husband's responsibility in the marriage relationship. If you were not here, it is on our webpage in the sermon archives. You're going to want to educate yourself on what a Christian marriage is. And this is going to sound strange what I'm about to say, but it's absolutely the truth. You can be married and be a Christian, but that doesn't guarantee you have a Christian marriage. We sometimes are destroyed by a lack of knowledge. If you were to ask any number of Christian couples, what does the Bible say about the roles of the marriage relationship, the husband and the wife's role, the one word that would come stronger than anything else is submit. That's the extent sometimes of our understanding. And that's not incorrect. It's just not all of the truth. And many times we have the word submit, but we don't know the definition of it. And so I spoke on the husband's responsibilities last week. I want to speak on the wife's responsibility this week. But first I want to go back to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. The scripture says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now again, the writer of the book of Hebrews, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, told us without doubt, marriage is an honorable institution. There's nothing wrong with marriage. It's honorable. When something bad is happening in the marriage, it's because the people that are in that marriage are doing dishonorable things. But the institution itself, there's nothing wrong with it. It is honorable. He says, and the bed is undefiled, meaning that sexual expression is only legal in the eyes of God within the constraints of the marriage relationship. If this is what it means. God thought so much about the institution of marriage. He gave the best and most precious gift of sexual intimacy. And he said, here, I crown the marriage relationship with this. It's only for you. But he says, whoremongers and adulterers, he said, I'm going to judge you. Whoremongers are those who practice sexual intimacy outside of the marriage relationship. And that's the main part of our society now. And he goes on to say adulterers, meaning those who are married but are intimate with someone outside of their marriage relationship. God gives us a promise. I'm going to judge you. Judgment is coming your way. The best thing you could do if you're involved in that is stop, repent, and start looking for a life partner. Commit yourself to one person for the rest of your life. It is an honorable relationship, and you're going to find that the Lord will use your marriage to grow you. For the married couples here, how many know you can't stay married and be a baby? It don't work. You got to grow up. And it's one of the greatest sanctifying tools that the Holy Spirit has is when you enter into that relationship that he begins to develop you in your separate roles. Now, as I said last week, we talked about the husbands. Their role is to love and to honor the wife. But that's incomplete. To love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That means that when there's someone in that relationship, husband or wife, and someone needs to die out, the husband dies first. I don't mean a physical death. I mean dies in terms of the idiosyncrasies in their personality. The husband dies first. So today, let's talk about the wives. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 22. And again, when Paul wrote this, he started with the wives. And so whenever I preach this, I start with the wives, but I never get to the brothers. And so I started this time with the brothers to make sure I could cover that ground, and we'll do the best we can to cover the ground of the wives today. It begins by saying, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, in order to understand the scripture, you have to slow down and analyze what it's saying. Just because the word submit is in this passage, there's more to it than that. First of all, he's speaking to wives. He's not speaking to women. If you're an unmarried woman, you don't have to submit to no man. He is not saying women submit to men. That's not what he said. He said, wives, submit yourself only to your own husband. That's the only one that you have to submit to is your own husband. If you're an unmarried woman and you're not married, you don't have to submit to no man. If you're able to take care of yourself, if you're able to make a way for yourself and you're happy like that, then be happy. But I would suggest to you that you should get out of that defiled bed with that brother and tell him either you're going to marry me or you need to step off. I talked to a sister. We had a marriage conference several months ago, and I talked to one of the sisters here in the ministry that was in a relationship for any number of years. And finally, she realized, this brother's not going to marry me. So she left the relationship. And I asked her, well, how long do you think a woman should be in a relationship with a man before she has an expectation of marriage? She said, if he hadn't married you in 2 years, you need to move on. Because you only have a certain amount of time before you get old. And it's easier getting married when you're young. Okay, I'll leave that alone. Let's get back. Wives, submit yourselves. Submit yourselves. This means that it's not the husband's responsibility to make the wife submit. It's not between the husband and the wife. It's between the wife and her God. It is a voluntary act. Submit yourself. You have to work through this. And now understand, submission is not easy for any of us. Don't think just because it says it in the scripture, it's just, oh, no problem, it's just easy. Both the husband and the wife have intellect. They have ego. They have their own understanding. They have their own preferences. And this is a call by God for that sister, that wife, to say, I am going to voluntarily submit myself in this marriage. It is a process of sanctification. And let me explain to you how hard it is. Brothers and sisters here in the room, how many know that God wants you to read your Bible more than you do? But it's not always that easy to submit, is it? How many know God wants you to pray way more than you do? But submission is more than just an intellectual understanding. You have to practically work yourself through that on a day-to-day basis, and it takes time. It's a growth. And so as the wife is learning to submit herself to her own husband, the husband has to understand, dwell with them according to knowledge, and understand that's a difficult process she's working through. And my job as she works through that is to love her as Christ loved the church, understanding she's not trying to do wrong. It's hard. It's not easy. It's not easy sometimes submitting to Christ, and he's God. And the husband's not even Christ or God. And not even perfect. And makes mistakes. And she still has this mandate to submit voluntarily herself. Nobody can make you do it. God's not going to make you do it. That's between you and God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Now, I want to talk about this word submission because many times we just don't understand what's being said. The word submission, it just means to be under rank, to be under rank. It requires the wife to recognize she is under legitimate authority. The authority that's vested in the husband does not come from Washington, D.C. It comes from God. It is legitimate. If you've ever noticed, for those that have children, that wife can be struggling with those kids. Hey, stop that, stop that, stop that. That brother can just walk in and say, y'all knock it off. Boom. Everything. That's the legitimate authority that God invested in him. And it's important that we not override that or overrun that. Now, I don't know who wrote this, but I just thought this content was very good. It says this: submission does not mean inferiority or silence. Get that. It does not mean inferiority or silence. Submission means submission. It means that you submit yourself to the mission that God has for your marriage. The mission for the Christian marriage is obeying and glorifying God. The wife's attitude should be, I'm going to put myself under that mission. I'm not putting myself below my husband. I'm putting myself below the mission that God has for our marriage and for our life. That mission is more important than my individual desires. Now, we understand this in every aspect of our life. You can be driving along, wives in your car, and boop, the police pull you over, and immediately you recognize his authority. And when he says, give me your license and your insurance, there's no back talk. Here's my license and my insurance. You realize that he's a legitimate authority, and so you submit to it. You have to see your husband in the same light. And again, it's important that the husbands, while our wives are working through this process that's quite difficult, that we love them, whether they successfully submit, half submit, or blow it all together. Our job is still love them as Christ loved the church. It's a voluntary submission. God is not going to force you. Your husband's unable to force you. It's not even between you and your husband. Your husband doesn't have a report card that he gives to God saying, yes, on Tuesday, she got a black mark because she didn't submit sufficiently. She did good on Tuesday, but on Wednesday, she gets another black mark. That's not how it works. He has nothing to do with it. It's between you and God, and the Holy Spirit administers that in your life. And I'll just tell you something, and I hope I don't cry. My wife submits herself to me to a degree that is ridiculous. She always sees me in the best light, even when it's not the best light. She always sees the best in me. She always tells me how she loves me. She doesn't have to say it. When she looks at me, I can see her respect for me. And that makes me want to love her more. I don't care if you had a misstep or not, baby. I love you. And there was a time years ago, she had a horrible misstep dealing with some financial matters. And she didn't tell me for a long time. It was getting worse and worse and worse. And then finally she came and she told me. And my whole heart just broke. Baby, why didn't you tell me? We could have done this together. You don't have to hide anything. See, when you submit, it pulls something out of that man. This is going to sound, men don't need love. Men need respect. Women need love. And we need to give our spouses what they need to the degree that we're able. So with that in mind, that you have to submit to your husband, if you're not married now, let me give you some pointers. When you're looking for a potential husband, you need to find somebody you can respect. If you can't respect him, he's not a candidate, because you're going to have to submit to someone you don't even respect. So, preacher, can you make it more plain? I can. If he got no job, no car, no prospects, living in mama's basement, he is not a candidate for you. Here's a better one. If he's not a Christian, he's not a candidate for you. I don't care how pretty he is. Stop looking at pretty and look at somebody who you can submit to. Because if you marry them, the day is going to come that you're going to go out to go to work in the morning, your car won't crank. You don't need a pretty boy. You need somebody ugly enough they can crawl up under that car and make something happen. You need somebody that can actually lead. Not just the wife, but they can lead a family in the right direction. Not to the gutter, but in the right direction. So submitting yourselves is not easy, it's voluntary, and it's something that you have to, sisters, wives, you have to impose upon yourself. Now, this last phrase of this says, as unto the Lord. Submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. And you know, something about scriptures is, if there's any way we can get it upside down, we usually pick that way and we get it wrong. As unto the Lord does not mean that your husband is your God. It does not mean that you are to submit to him as you submit to the Lord, in terms of the Lord being God. It means that it's God's decree for the marriage relationship that the wife live in submission to the headship of her husband. And that's what it means as unto the Lord. God is not trying to put the husband in the role of your Lord. That's not what this is saying at all. Are you with me today? Verse 23 says, because, now he's giving us reasons. He's saying that the wife is to submit herself to the husband as unto the Lord because the husband is the head of the wife, just like Christ is the head of the church and he's the savior of the body. So it's not just that you have a decree to submit. Now there's a reason given, because the husband is the head of the wife. The husband is not the head of the house. I hear people say that all the time, that nowhere is that in the scripture. The husband alone is the head of the wife, meaning that she is under his rank. His rank is higher in terms of the family hierarchy, but the husband and the wife, they administer that house and the children together. Together. So he says the husband is the head of the wife, just like, to the same degree that Christ is the head of the church. Now, let's look at what that means. We have churches now that are in absolute rebellion against Jesus Christ. We see them, you see them all the time. They just thrown his word out the window. They preach from the purpose-driven life or some kind of psychology book or something else. Total rebellion against the Lord. That's what it looks like when the wife is not in submission to the husband. It's a total rebellion. It's outside of God's order. I've heard this asked many times over. Well, shouldn't the husband sometimes submit to the wife? No. That should never happen. Have you ever seen Christ submit to the church? That should never happen. Now, it doesn't mean that that husband, I do this all the time. I've got a decision. I've got a call I've got to make. I always go to my wife and say, baby, here are the pieces. What do you think about this? I always want her input. But if I say right and she says left, the first thing I do is say, okay, explain to me why left. What am I missing? I want to understand your thoughts. And once she does that, now I make the call. And if I say right, I never submit back and say left. Are you with me? Now, there's sometimes, I was thinking about this early today. We used to live in an apartment many years ago, and we had a nice apartment, 3-bedroom. It was huge. The rent was good, and everything was wonderful. And my wife comes to me and says, hey, you know what? Maybe we should buy a house. I said, baby, I don't want no house. I'm going to have to cut the grass. I got all the utility bills. There's maintenance houses. You got to maintain a house. There's all the maintenance that's got to happen. You got to make sure you get a good house. I'm not ready for that. And she didn't say anything. A little bit later, she came back and said, I think we should buy a house. And she got me thinking about it. And it took a little bit, I will admit. But then I saw the wisdom of what she was bringing to the table. I did not submit to her. The thoughts that she brought to me changed my decision, and we bought the house. And that's the extent of the husband's submission to the wife. Now, you would wonder, well, why doesn't the wife have to ever submit? I mean, the husband have to ever submit to the wife? I'll tell you why. It defies the creation order. Adam was first born. He was created first. And then Eve was second. That means his rank is higher in terms of seniority. God never breathed in Eve's nostrils. That never happened. Whatever life she inherited, she got it from Adam. Adam was not called upon to name, Eve was not called upon to name any of the animals. Adam gave him all his names, and Adam also gave Eve her name. So the creation order already lays out the headship of the husband over the wife. Not only that, it would ignore the order in the church where Christ is the head of the church, never submitting himself to it. The husband is the head of the wife, never submitting himself to her, but at the same time, always listening to her. I say this all the time. If you have a wife, you have a perfectly good additional brain. You've got your brain and her brain, sometimes as far as details, works better than yours. Why would you not take advantage of that? As Christ is the head of the church and he is the savior of the body, which simply means that the husband is supposed to be the protector of the wife. If there's some harshness that's coming, the husband, your job is to step out in front. You know, if you hear a bump in the house, you don't tell your wife, get the gun, go see what that is. You need to be already on it. Say, stay here, I got this. Verse 24, therefore, based on everything we just said, based on verse 22 and verse 23, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, here's another thing about submission. Because we can easily pride ourselves in our submission. But when your husband says, I think we should go right, and you also say, I think we should go right, that's not submission. You just agree on what you think. But when the husband says, I think it's right, and you say, no, I'm pretty sure it's left, that's submission. When it's what you don't want to do. When it's what you was going to do all the time. Hey, let's go out and let's go buy you a new diamond ring. Yes, I believe that's the Lord. But when it's what you don't want to hear, that's when the grueling task of submitting to that has to be. And as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be, again, to their own husband. You don't owe wives, you don't owe any other man any submission at all except the one you said I do. That's the only one. You know, that's why the shacking thing don't work. It's because there are no rules. You make me mad, I'll just walk away. I don't care that you got three babies, I'm gone. And we got a generation now with 1 to 3 babies. And no husband, nobody in the house. And it's because we haven't followed God's model. And see, this can happen even to people that are married, but they don't obey these rules. They could end up in divorce court and the same exact outcome happens. Marriage is not easy. It's honorable, but it's not easy. I look back on me and Sister Lincoln, and there's times that, you know, we had to go through the same process. And there were times that it was really hard for both of us. It was really hard. And I learned this. I learned that I have a place that God gave me as the husband. And when things got shaky and things got rough, and she wasn't what I felt doing what I felt she needed to do, I didn't talk to her. I went to God and got on my face. Said, God, I need you to either step in and help me. If I'm wrong, correct me. But God, this is your relationship. You put this thing together. And I'm doing everything that I know to do. And it never fails. Sometimes he changes me. But it never fails. He will always change that situation until now, I don't know, it's been 40-some years now we've been together. We came out of high school together. We were married out of high school. Got a divorce after 6 years because we wasn't saved, and we sure didn't know this. Then after 6 years, she was in Germany, I'm in Texas. God saved us both in the same week. We weren't talking to each other. And both of us were about to marry get into another marriage, and God squished all of that and put our marriage back together. I mean, it was ordained of God. But it still wasn't easy because she's a personality, a legitimate personality, and I know I'm a whole personality myself. And so we had to, over the years, allow God to sanctify us, and we had to learn how to work together until now we don't have arguments. We don't raise our voices at each other, and we don't always agree, but we've just learned how to move through that thing. I've learned how to respect her intellect and how to respect her thoughts and her feelings, and she has learned how to recognize the headship that I carry and the responsibility for that headship. And we brought this out last week. Just because you have the authority of being the head, it also comes with responsibility, not a responsibility to your wife. That's a responsibility to your God. And so we have to tread very carefully as we move through the marriage relationship. Respect one another. Respect one another. I've got 3 more minutes. There's one more thought here. It says, I can't leave this out. Well, I got to. The church is to be subject to Christ. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. In everything. Whether you agree or you don't agree, that submission needs to be there. Now, understand that there are some exceptions. If he's trying to ask you to do something ungodly, you have to obey God rather than man. But you don't get to make that call. The Holy Ghost got to make that call. Now, that's where just honesty comes in at. He says right, and you say left. You can't say, well, right is ungodly. I don't want to do that. You have to wait until the Holy Spirit convicts you, convicts him. There's got to be the Holy Spirit has to be the referee. He's the referee. Otherwise, you'll just submit to him whenever you want to. And when you don't want to, you'll just say, well, that's just the devil. I'm not doing that. It's the devil. And that's not what godly submission is. Am I making sense this morning? Praise the Lord. I'm going to stop right there. I wish I had 3 hours to talk on this. Because there's so much. You learn so much in a lifetime in the marriage relationship. You learn so much. And the one thing I'll leave you with, marriage is honorable. It's one of the best things that God has given to the human race, crowned it with sexual expression, legal before God. And we should respect it as well and learn how to operate in it the way that God laid it out. Man did not create marriage. God created marriage. It's his creation. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we just thank you this morning for your goodness. We thank you that you've given us this wonderful gift of marriage, that we can find a soulmate that we walk through this entire life together with, being joint heirs in the grace of life. We would ask you this morning, Lord, as these words have gone out here in the room, as well across the internet, the online experience, God, that you let these words sink down into our ears. Help it to be heard by both the husband and the wife, the difficulties involved, Lord, in learning to be married according to your will and your way. I'm going to ask you all over the room, would you stand to your feet this morning, all over the room? You may be married. You may not be married, but one day you will be. Why don't you right now just begin to reach out. Say, God, give me wisdom in my marriage. Lord, I have a role, whether you're a husband or a wife, I have a role that you expect me to play. And I ask you now for the Holy Spirit to convict my heart in the areas that I'm falling short. God, I don't want to be wrong, but God, teach me to be right. Come on, just reach out to God right now. He loves you. You're not being rebuked this morning. He loves you. He wants you to enjoy the grace of life together. Just reach out to the Lord, won't you? Just reach out.
Lord, we need you this morning just like every single day. We need you, Lord, to lead us and guide us in what you've asked us to do, Lord God. We want to be obedient to your word, Lord. We want to surrender to your will for our lives, God. So we ask that you give us the strength through and by the power of the Holy Spirit to do so. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming this morning. It's a blessing to see all of you here. Just a few announcements before we go. If you have not given, please do so. We definitely need your support. As Pastor mentioned earlier, we have a projector fund. We've raised $3,000, but we're in need of a total of $11,000. So if God puts it on your heart to bless us in that way to support this part of our ministry, we ask that you do that. You can text to give. The keyword is projectors with an S. And a reminder once again that when the projectors are installed, we will not have Bible class that day, and that is Wednesday, November 6th. Well, until we meet again, we hope you join us for the 11 o'clock, and if not, we'll see you in Bible class on Wednesday. Thank you so much for coming. May God bless you. You're dismissed.